John was in the spirit on the Lord's day. The voice from heaven, and this is what it said. I found the river. And this is what it said: Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forever. Oh, behold, 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 I live. Forever, oh, hallelujah, Hosanna, hallelujah, Hosanna, hallelujah, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, we are praising. Praising, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. We are praising, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. We are praising Him, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Hosanna. Hallelujah, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, hallelujah, oh, we are praising, praising the Lord, oh, praising the Lord, hallelujah, we are praising, praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You see me no more there, for I live in another land. My tent is no more pitched in Egypt's land. You see me no more there, for I live in. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, my tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You see me no more there, for oh, I live in other land. My tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You see me no more there, oh, I live. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Amen. Greet your brother, greet your sister. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one song. Brother Mike will come bless us with a song. Brother Mike from Malawi, yeah? I'm just giving him a shock. Don't worry, brother. I know it's you. He doesn't sing, the brother. Amen. Let's sing one song. Let's just sing a nice song. That deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. It's you.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily let me go. The school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Go deeper yet I will. Go deeper, oh higher every day. And wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Blessed Holy Spirit, take a deeper stay. Till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect. Oh, deeper, oh, deeper, yet I go. Oh, deeper and higher every day. Blessed Lord, in thy gracious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost a trial, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful. Go deeper, oh deep, and higher every day. Wiser, blessed Lord, in my precious holy word. Deeper, higher every day in Jesus. Oh, conflict pass, I conquer in His holy image, perfected at last. Go deeper, oh deeper, yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed. In thy precious holy word.
Can be seated. We only grow deeper. Brother Mike, while he comes. We grow deeper in prayer and in reading His word. We can never grow deeper if we don't know Him. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Before we sing the song, I just want to say a big thank you to the Lord for His blessings for the past years. Nathaniel is 1 year old, 29th of last month. And we thank the Lord for protecting him and just blessing him and guiding him. We also thank the Lord, Jesse, Stacy and Elsie. Stacy was the student of the month in her school. Elsie was the best writer in her class. Jesse was a special mention in her school. So we thank the Lord for blessing the kids. It's wonderful in our life. And they are so growing up fast in the Lord. They read their Bible every morning. They pray to God every morning. And I thank the Lord for His special blessings upon their lives. Myself, the Lord has been so good to me. My college, I'm still in college. Recently on my exams, I remember Brother Maxwell giving a testimony recently when he was going to write exams, and he was so sick that he couldn't study anything. But the letter that he knew when he went to the dance room, that was what came. And I thought, oh, that, I wish that would be me. I was just praying to the Lord. And I'm an IT student, and we have to do this accounting course because they thought that when we come out of school, we might try to open our own companies. So we have to know something about accounting. And that course was so difficult for me. And during the exams time, I had no idea. I didn't know how I was going to write the exams. I was just praying to the Lord. And this lecturer is so hard that he doesn't repeat questions. So I asked my seniors, those who are before us, and they said, look, don't go learning the past questions because none of it is coming. And he's so bad in teaching. So I thought, this one, I'll have to come back in August to write a receipt. I said, Lord, I don't want to come back, please. So I just went back to the past questions and I picked the easy ones in them and I started studying them. I didn't know why. But God being so good, I went to the exam room and the three questions that I was studying, that's exactly that came. And I'm so glad to the Lord that I just wrote all that I knew and I passed it successfully. So the Lord has been good to us. And sometimes we go to troubles, to trials, and we forget that the captain of the sea is in the boat. And we try to, you know, battle the storms ourselves. But until you realize and go back to him and call him up, he will never come back. So Amen. We just always have to remind ourselves and go back to the Lord and call him. We just want to sing a song.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. My wife sang this song a few days ago. And to me, it tells me all that I want to tell the Lord for blessing us. I want to say thank you to him. Amen. So enjoy yourself, please.
Amen.
As the world look above me. Sorry. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, and a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. 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 There's a roof up above me, I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. Your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not worthy, and this clothes did not need you. And I don't have much money, but I have you, Lord, and that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You can be your landlord and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Thank you, saints. God bless you.
Amen. The brother can be saying roof over your head, because we all have a roof. It feels like, so what? But when you don't have a roof on your head, that's when you say, my, it's actually cold sleeping in the streets. That's when you'll realize the value of those things. Same like the pastor and brother Dave. Let the car start going wrong, then you'll realize the value of your car. Let those problems come. When someone says, hey, I've got a good car. I've got one, so what? But when your car gives you problem, or the problem that you have, when it's a problem in your life, that's when you realize, my. So we thank the Lord for the roof overhead. We thank the Lord for the blessings. We thank the Lord for the families. We thank the Lord for the good things. We don't realize, you go and live your life in a home where there's problems and contentions. Then you say, hey, thank God for my family. Let's sing that song. Let's feel free to stand if you want to stand. Sit down if you want to sit. Hello, Lord. Hello, we long to worship you. Oh, hello, light. Hello, how we long to worship you. Lord, we come to you. Oh, no matter what the situation,
no matter what the situation,
we will lift our holy hands.
We will lift our holy hands.
Let's sing it now. Oh, Adonai.
Elohim, how we long to worship you.
Elohim,
Elohim, Elohim, how we long to worship you. In Satan's Eden, and Satan comes to beat us down, but with your spirit here before us, in righteousness we'll rise and sing.
Oh, we sing, Lord.
Hello, light. Hello, light. Hello, light. How we long to worship you.
We long to worship you.
Hello, light. Hello, light. How we long to worship you.
Let's give him the glory. glory this morning. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah.
You deserve the glory. You have the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship. As we lift our holy,
we lift your name. You deserve the glory, Lord. And Lord, we lift our hands and worship as we lift your holy. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like, no one else like Jesus. There is no one else like, for you are great. So great, there is no one else like you, no one else like Jesus. There is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. One more time, there is no one, there is no one else like you.
Saints, we greet you in Jesus' name. Wonderful song, wonderful singing. Thank the Lord for his testimonies. Thank the Lord for his word and his goodness. Let's open our Bibles straight away to the book of Revelation chapter 3. We do greet everyone this morning in Jesus' name. Lovely day, lovely opportunity to gather in his home, in his house. Revelation 3, let's read verse 10 and 11, the same scripture we read last week. Speaking of the time that we're entering into in this age that we're living in. Revelation 3 verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Let's also read Psalm 89 from verse 50. This is the scripture the prophet used when he preached on reproach for the cause of the word. Psalm 89 from verse 50. This is David. And he says, remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached thee, O Lord. Wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, once again we come unto thee. We thank you, Lord, for songs, Lord. We thank you that, Father, we can lift our hands in worship. We thank you for testimonies, Lord. We thank you for people that appreciate your goodness, Lord. Father, these things that you give to us, Lord, the food that you give, Lord, food on our tables, Lord. We thank you for a warm place to sleep. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a roof over our heads. We thank you for friends. We thank you for brothers and sisters, Lord. We thank you for hope for the future. Father, we know that you hold the future. And that's why, Lord, we can face up to tomorrow, Lord. And we just want to come and just yield ourselves unto thee once again upon this day, that you may continue to persuade us of your promises, Lord, that you may grant us grace and grant us mercy. Bless the visitors in our gates. Bless all that would be said and all that would be done, then that wouldn't be here in your house upon this day at work or wheresoever they would be. We do pray for them, Lord. Have mercy upon your people at this time. And even your word now, we give it into your hands, Lord. Won't you break unto us the bread of life? Won't you speak unto us? Won't you lead us and guide us, Lord, Father, to that place that you desire us to be. Let your blood speak upon this day, Lord. Let your blood speak on our behalf, blessing your people, gathering in like manner from the north to the south, the east and the west, Lord. We dedicate them to thee, Lord. And Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come to serve and to worship thee. You be glorified. Bless all that is said and done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Just a couple of things. We have a baptism today. We're really glad that Brother Greg from Carlo, he's looking to be baptized. Wonderful thing for people wanting to set everything in scriptural order before the Lord. So we do really look forward to that. Also, Sister Nachisa wants to give thanks for passing her exams in college. Everything we can do, we only do by Christ who strengthens us. And that's the truth. So we really do thank the Lord for prospering her and giving her good success. So we're looking today once again at this Revelations chapter 3, the thought we had last week was the hour of temptation. Now we're just showing that the season that we're entering into, the way the world is going, it's becoming more and more pressurized for someone to live a real Christian life. And as things keep going the way that they are, there's going to come a time that for you to live according to the word and to stand for what you believe, it's going to bring persecution upon you. You know, already it's getting to that stage. There's certain things from the Bible that you can't say anymore in public in certain places. You know, it's breaking the law. There's certain principles of God's word that have always been held for generation unto generation. But because of the way society is changing, because of the way the laws are being passed, because of the way that, you know, the whole mindset of people is being fashioned, a lot of these things which have never been challenged before, in the generations gone by, we find they're being challenged now. You know, and that is what the Lord was speaking of to the previous church age. He said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the earth. And friends, we're moving, as we said last week, right in the shadows of that time. This hour of temptation where pressure is beginning to build. We know the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation about a coming persecution. We know that people won't be able to buy or sell unless you're part of the system. You know, so we know that these are things which are coming upon the earth. You know, and I don't know, I really keep a close watch on those things, and you see what's taken place in different nations. And you see the way that things are moving down this line, and you really see for yourself that the world's never been in this position that it is now. No, we've never ever since you and I were born have come to a place that we can see so clearly that we're entering into the season that the Bible says. But the good thing about it is God will always make a preparation and a provision for His people. And that's what I want to speak about today. I'd like to speak on the topic of no compromise. You know, because we're going to get to a situation, the prophet speaking of this hour of temptation, he says, it'll be a very inviting proposition, held up in direct opposition to God's commanded word. So we saw it last week is that, you know, the Lord has His word, He has His principles. And if you really want His full blessing, you know, we've got to walk in His word and in His principles. But Satan, knowing that, he always wants to bring an alternative. He always wants to raise something else up to come and, you know, give us something which seems inviting, especially when the pressure comes on. Now, Satan always does that. In the times of pressure, when you're feeling the pressure, when there's a price to be paid to walk in and with the word, now Satan's always going to have a way of escape as well and say, but you know, you don't have to do this. Now, you don't have to go through this pressure. You don't have to be unpopular. You know, you can just be accepted like everybody else. All you got to do is just compromise these principles and, you know, just accept this as an alternative to what it is that you're standing for. And the prophet speaking of it, he says, and this, as this pressure increases, and it will be harder to resist, because to resist will be to lose privilege. So there'll come a time that for you and I, we don't know how much it's going to be. The prophet speaks of a persecution to the church. We don't know how much of that the bride will go through. We know there'll be a squeeze to the bride. But there's coming a persecution to the church as a whole, a great persecution. And the prophet says, as the pressure increases, there'll be more and more of a temptation to compromise. Because if you continue to stand firm for what you believe and what you know is true, you will lose privilege. There'll be certain things you won't be able to do, and you know that He told us the time will come where they'll put closed on the door. And unless you join the system, there'll be a boycott, and the mark of the beast will come in. And so many people at that time will be, you know, tempted in the hour of temptation to compromise on what they believe, so they can get the privilege still of gathering or preaching or, you know, doing different things. Until finally in the tribulation, it's going to come to the time you won't be able to buy or sell. Now, even for the necessities of life, if you're not a member of the system. And people always say, but that's far-fetched. But it happened just a generation ago in Europe when the Nazis took over. And if you were just born a Jew, you know, you couldn't buy or sell. As soon as Hitler got into power, it didn't take long The laws started to change. Society started to change. If you were a Jew, you couldn't work for the public service. If you were a Jew, they passed laws. You couldn't marry a Gentile. And it didn't take many years until they took all the Jews and put them in ghettos. And they had to live in specific places just because they were Jews. And eventually, we know what happened to them. Just because of that principle, that truth that they held as the children of God, being, you know, the natural seed of Abraham. Now that happened in civilized Europe 50 years. Now what did they have this last year? The 60th or 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. When people were put in concentration camps just because of who they were. Just because of their belief. They had to wear a yellow star to walk around. They had to be branded and show what you were. And they were persecuted because of that. And the prophet says that was a pre-tribulation under Eichmann and Hitler. That was a foreshadow of the fullness, Hitler being a foreshadow of the beast who's to come. And the Jews got caught in Europe and all the borders were closed. And many of them got in ships and they sailed to different countries and were turned back and sent back to the Holocaust in Europe. You know, it's a real sobering thing to read about and to meditate upon, because you'll see they had their hour of temptation. You know, it was a real hour of temptation. And many of them tried to change their names. And many of them tried to say they weren't Jewish and they wanted to take on Catholic identities and all of that to try to find, you know, that they wouldn't lose privilege so that they wouldn't lose their lives. It was a time of pressure. You know, the pressure increased and increased and increased. You know, there's something about that, about our rights. Now, the moment you start giving up your rights, it's a slippery slope. You know, the moment the government starts taking this and Europe passes certain laws and so forth, you know, it doesn't stop. You know, and we know as believers where it's heading to. It's heading into a time of tribulation, a great tribulation. It's heading into a time of persecution. But God always has a purpose in everything that He does. Now, trial and pressure and persecution, God doesn't allow them to come upon His people for nothing. We know that the trials of the Holocaust caused the rebirth of Israel. We know that there wouldn't have been a nation of Israel if there hadn't have first been the Holocaust. But the nations of the world, you know, they pitied the Jews and said, no, these people need a homeland as well. And that caused Israel, 1948, to become a nation once again. Now, so there's always a divine purpose in anything which the Lord allows His children to go into. Because nothing happens by chance. Now, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And the prophet speaks of this right throughout the message from the beginning to the end. I just took a few quotes when he speaks about the purpose that this time of temptation, this persecution will cause. And he says it right from the beginning. He speaks of it in the message, Angel of God, 1947. He says, speaking about Moses, he says, Moses, I like him because he was a shadow of the coming of Christ. So the time of Israel in Egypt, it was a real foreshadowing of the coming of the Lord. And he says, when the time of the promise drew nigh, I want you to notice the people began at that time to see something happening to them. Some troubles. And God has always caused troubles, mostly always, to bring the people together. So there rose up a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. Now before they were privileged people. The sons of Jacob, because of what Joseph had done, because Joseph had brought such a great deliverance, they were given the choice portion of Egypt and so forth. But there came a time when the Lord says, no, it's time now for the promise. And the people now, they were so at ease in Egypt and they had such a privileged position that God now had to start to turn things around. And when now the law started to change and there came a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and all of a sudden, those people that had been so favorably received before, now they weren't favorably looked at anymore. But now they became second-class citizens because of who they were and what they believed, and because they wouldn't join themselves together and change their religion and change the faith which they had. It moved into a cycle now when they started to be persecuted because of who they were. There came a time of trouble. And the prophet says, I believe there'll be a time there won't be any more division amongst the people of God. I believe the persecution will run all the big ransom church of God together. and we'll be one in Christ Jesus, and then he'll take her home. You know, that's why you can see, if you get in the message, desperation, that troubles and trials, they bring out the true nature of who somebody is. No, and sometimes when we're living at ease and everything's going well, we don't really show who we really are. But God allows the seasons to change. God allows the storms to come. God allows the atmosphere to become different than what it was. And all of a sudden, whereas before, you know, you didn't even have to think about tomorrow, now sometimes you're wondering about your future. You know, it can come in so many different ways, and there's a divine purpose in that. And the divine purpose that the Lord has is he wants to bring out the true nature of what's inside of somebody. And normally it's desperation, it's times of stress, it's times of trial that pushes you. And it brings out that something inside of you that hadn't been apparent before. And friends, we can gather here today when everything's going well still in the economies and so forth. And now we can disagree on this and we can disagree on that. But let a persecution come. Now let the atmosphere start to change. Let it start to be threatened that we can't gather anymore. Or let it be that, you know, there's a cost to be paid. As we read the scripture when David speaks of the reproach of the word, that all of God's anointed bear reproach. Now that there comes a time that to walk with Christ, there's a price that you have to pay. You know, it happens in the natural. You just become a Christian. You give your life to Christ. You're going to have a challenge from your family. You're going to have a challenge from your friends. There's going to be certain people that aren't going to want to walk together with you anymore that used to walk with you. It's a time of temptation for you. And it's like, it's inviting to compromise at that kind of a time because you don't want to lose some of the privileges that you got. You don't want to lose some of the friends that you've got. Now, you don't want to seem to be the oddball in society. You don't want to be the people, that person that's different. And as we were saying at the youth on Friday, especially about dress, it's so much more difficult for sisters because, you know, they're so much more outstanding in society if they dress in modest apparel like the Bible says. Now, if a woman dresses in a scriptural way, she stands out now when she's walking down the street, when she's at school, when she's at college. And that's the reproach that comes with wanting to walk with the word. That if we wanted to walk with Christ, there's a price to be paid. And to so many people, they don't want to pay that price. You know, so many people, when the time of temptation comes, the pressure comes on, and we realize, but no, I can lose some of my friends. I'm going to lose my reputation. I'm not going to be what I used to be in the eyes of people, in the eyes of society. You know, so many people are like Orpah in the book of Ruth. That when you count the cost, back you go to your gods and back you go to your people and so forth. But there's always going to be a Ruth. That when the time of pressure comes, the time of trial comes, and it causes you to really assess, no, what is important to me? Now, what am I really here for? It causes you to propose inside of yourself. Like Daniel in chapter 1, when they were taken and brought into Babylon, and then the king's table was set, and there was all the forbidden food put on the table. Now, there was so much room for them to, you know, they were going to lose a lot of privilege. They could have lost everything at that time if they had not compromised, if they had compromised in what they believed. But it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the meat from the king's table. You know, and it's something that when the squeeze comes on, when a decision is forced upon you, that's when you really assess, but what is important to me? Now, who am I really? What is my purpose here? And that really separates the wheat from the chaff every single time. That really shows who is who. And when everything's going smooth and sweet, we're all together, friends. We all seem to be one. But let trouble come. Let misunderstanding come. Let difficulty come. And people manifest what they really are. What was inside there all the time, pressure brings it out. You know, and for a believer, pressure brings out that which is good. But to the unbeliever, pressure brings out the worst in people. Now people will be seeking the easy way, seeking the way to compromise, seeking the way to profit from that situation. But to a genuine believer, you're going to look at yourself and say, what is expected of me? You know, I want to walk with Christ. You know, I don't want to let him down. I don't want to compromise on the principles of his word. And the prophet says, as we go further and further, the pressure is going to increase. You know, and my thought just today, maybe it's not a difficult thought as we get into it, but, you know, if you're not faithful in little, you'll never be faithful in the evil day. Now, if you don't start off right in the beginning, now if you're compromising on the little things now, how do you expect in that great day when it's maybe you're being threatened that you'll have to shed your blood or you'll have to spend time in prison or whatever that it is? Now, if you haven't managed to stand in the presence of your friends when they're laughing at you for what you believe, or you know, you haven't managed to stand and you've compromised at college, because you don't want to be different than the rest of the people. Now, when it really comes down to the greater temptation that comes down the way, now we won't be prepared to stand at that kind of a time. But the Lord gave a wonderful promise there in Revelation 3. He says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also deliver you in the hour of temptation. Now, so there's this portion that the Lord puts on us. It says, this now, keep the word of my patience. Keep my word. Endure with my word. Be faithful to my word. And he says, if you will keep my word, I will keep you. You do what you can do, you do it faithfully. No matter what the price you have to pay. And then when it comes to the big crisis now, when you can't do anything, then you're going to see who I really am. Then I'm going to step right into your situation. But these two things are dependent on one another. Now, if we're going to compromise on the little things, where do we get a confidence from that Christ is going to step in the great hour of trial when we need him to step right into our circumstances and stand on our behalf? And that is why, friends, compromise is our greatest enemy as a believer. Sometimes we think compromise is our friends, but we soon learn the lessons. Now, compromise, friends, it may get you temporarily out of a difficult situation, but it doesn't set you up to inherit the promises. No, you're just deferring. You're just making things more complicated by compromising with them. But to a genuine believer, you would rather be like Daniel. You'd rather purpose in your heart. He purposed inside that I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to compromise with these things. Now, compromise is something, friends, that it's not a good thing. And we all know that because of the times when we've, you know, we thought maybe it was a better way, but you soon learn it's not a better way. And the prophet's speaking of, you know, these persecutions that are coming, the things that are coming upon the earth. He says, at the time the promise was ready to be fulfilled, the Israelites were faring sumptuously in Egypt. No, they were doing so well. It was so good. He says, they were getting along all right. The great prestige that Joseph had had, God had given them favor. But when there came time for the promise to be fulfilled, they raised a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And they began a persecution. And it caused in the persecution the people to go crowding together and praying. And the prophet says persecution always strengthens the cause. It does. Persecution always does. Trials and troubles and all these things that bring a pressure on you, they always strengthen the cause in the life of a believer. Like it was down in Babylon. He says, what taken place in Babylon, when the force was brought in on the true worshippers, with Daniel and with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and they had to make a decision. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is going to cost me my life if I don't bow down to this image. Or Daniel, that if I compromise on prayer, you know, I'm going to go into the lion's den. The prophet says, when God called them to really show their true colors. And these times, they always cause a genuine believer to show their true colors. Now, something kicks in the life of a believer. All secondary things get laid aside. The things of the flesh, the secondary things of life. When you come into a crisis, now those things, they fade into insignificance. And all of a sudden, you have a new focus because you realize and you're looking at things the way that they really are. And he says, what a picture you could pull out, Daniel and Revelation, and show by the scriptures. The church is coming into the same type of persecution before she's called out. That's the way the Gentile church was brought in the days of Daniel, with the image. It says that's the way the church will be taken out. She came in so, and so shall she go. So we can see, friends, the season that we're moving into. And you know, we don't look for persecution. We don't look for trouble. Like we said last week, we don't tempt the Lord. Don't put yourself in a situation that you're forcing God to step in on your behalf. But you would rather, when the trials and troubles come, you're meeting them in the line of duty. It's a progression that you're progressively walking with Him, and the next step He takes you into whatever it is that you need to face up to. But how much more confident you'll be, what a consolation will be, if you've been faithful in the smaller steps back there. When the smaller trials have come, the smaller decisions have come, when you've been put in a corner to really show your true colors down the way, now how much more of a confidence that you will have when the great things come that are far bigger than you. Like Brother Mike was saying, you know, when the storms come, you want to make sure that Jesus is in the boat. And how are you going to know that He's in the boat if He doesn't put you through smaller things and build them up and build up the pressure so that you're able to withstand the pressure when the bigger things come? But friends, if the small pressure comes and we're compromising, we're never going to be prepared for the great things that are to come. And that's why sometimes it's the little fox that spoils the vine. And it's good on a regular basis. When I was reading these things about Daniel and so forth, I was really praying these last weeks and saying, Lord, just search me. Is any compromise in me? I don't want compromise in me. You'll really be trying to search yourself and look and, you know, say, Lord, I just desire that clear-cut decision like you find in the Bible. I just want, when those times come, just to stand for you so that you'll stand for me. Because that's what it is to walk with God. You know, when you're walking with God, there's a price to be paid. There's the reproach of the anointed word. You can't walk with Christ and expect all men to speak well of you. You know, that's not the Pharisees. They loved people to speak well of them. Jesus says they've had their reward. But He says, not all men are going to speak well of you if you stand true for me. And as we go further and further down, friends, the name of Jesus in society is becoming a dirty name. Now what used to be a precious thing to so many people, it's like it's becoming outlawed in certain places. In the United States military now, chaplains are not allowed to mention the name of Jesus. They're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. You know, it's getting to that point because the Lamb who rose up with two horns in the end has to speak like the dragon, which is Rome. And we see that coming, the laws and the pressure, the persecution that's being brought. But it comes in gradually. But the mechanics are being put in place. And if you keep your eyes on modern events that are taking place, you'll see it for yourself. We're quite far down the road, friends. In some of these countries we live, you know, you don't realize sometimes just the laws that are already against us in these situations. And it's only the grace of God, because we are not trying to tempt the Lord. We're not trying to put ourselves into temptation. It's just the grace of God that keeps us. Because it's not yet the hour for these things to be brought to press down against us. Because God has His time and He has His way. And He says pressure only brings out the true nature of an object. He says it takes thunder and lightning to bring forth life-giving rain. It takes the pounding of the gold to get rid of the fool's gold so that the beater can see His image in it. And He says sometimes the Lord has to put us through these things because He wants the real something that's in you to express itself, to be manifest. And when we're all at ease in Zion, friends, it doesn't take care of itself like that. And that's why it's normally the Lord, He allows these things to come in different ways. He says in Mighty Conqueror 1957, He says when the Christian church was liberated by Constantine, when Constantine, all the persecution was taken off the church. Before the church in the early ages, after the death of Christ, through the age of the apostles, through the early church ages, to be a Christian, you had to worship in secret. To be a Christian, you had to worship in the catacombs. Many of the Christians were fed to the lions, were put in the arenas with the gladiators and so forth. But the prophet says, when Constantine took over and he made Christianity the state religion, it might have seemed a good thing to people. But the prophet says, when they did, the church lost more grounds in 10 years than it had gained through all the persecution. Now once the pressure was taken off, he says, if there's anything that makes Christians lazy, it's when they're on a flowery bed of ease. We don't have persecution enough? Now, we're not asking for persecution. We don't have it hard enough. He says a man is what he is when he's under pressure. That's when you really see who is when you're under pressure. When you are under pressure, you express who you really are. That's when you really show the inner man. That gene, that born-again gene seed reflects and expresses itself at that time. Because the pressure forces you to express something beyond the flesh. You know, you want to just lay the flesh aside because you recognize the old nature as your enemy. The old nature is trying to hold you back from the good things of God. The old nature which wants to be patted and petted and spoken well of and all this kind of a thing. You start to realize this old nature is holding me back from the fellowship that I need with Him at this time. You know, from the time that I need in His presence. And that's how the time of persecution, it normally presses a person to really reflect the inner man. What's inside of him. The prophet says his real true characteristics will show when he's under pressure. Get someone all riled and all stirred up. You'll see the real man come out. No, you stroke the cat, you stroke the cat, it's going to purr at you. Stroke it the wrong way and see its claws come out. And it happens with people as well. Sometimes you'll think you're together with somebody, but they've got something in their heart all the time. But as long as you treat them well, as long as you say and do exactly what they want you to say and do, everything will be fine. But let you just step on their toes one day, step on a pet doctrine of theirs, step on something they're not happy with, and you'll be surprised to find another manifestation coming out. But it was always in there. But it took the adverse season. You know, it took something unpleasant, something difficult to come, and something expresses itself that you never knew was inside of there. And that's why it strengthens the church. Because during the time of pressure, you really get to know who's who. And as we get closer and closer to the hour of temptation, is it not going to get more and more like that sense? Is it not going to get more and more? And the prophet says it's like Gideon when he had his massive army. And then the Lord said, that's too many people. And started to put it through test after test to narrow it down. And then finally the Lord says, that's the group that I can use to get my job done. And the prophet says, that's the way that it's always going to be. And it's normally persecution and pressure that comes upon us. And the pressure to compromise at such and such a time. He says, 1962, get a little persecution when you're not fed so well. Everything has to be pushed together. God's got ways of doing things, you know. And friends, we can take it personally. We don't even have to look at the age. But when are the times when He's revealed Himself the most to you? When is the time that Christ has been the most real to you? When has He been the most precious? When has He shed the most light upon His Word? When are the times that you've had the greatest experience? Is it when you're on the flowery bed of ease? Or is it when affliction comes, or trial comes, or difficulty comes? And now you've got to start really praying for things that you were taking for granted before. It brings out the spiritual side at that kind of a time. Then finally he says in paradox, he says, get a little persecution. No, sorry, in paradox he says, it'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together. If you think of in the bride. But He will. He knows how to send the persecution that'll run us together. Because saints, when the persecution comes, all the secondary things, they're not important to us. Now all the secondary little things you may argue about that are not the fundamental primaries of the message that we believe, we're going to find out at that time that, hey, we don't need to be worrying very much about arguing with other people about these things. There's far more important things at a time like this. And that's why at those kind of times you put a focus on the things that are important. And you take your eyes off those things which are not important. And that's why trial and persecution, he says, it strengthens the cause. There's something about it that will do something good for you by the grace of God. If you will allow it to establish that inside of your life at that time. But Satan wants to come in at the same time. And what does he want to do? He wants to get you to compromise. He wants to get us to think, but the pressure's too much. And we're trying to make our own way. We're trying to make our own plan. You know, we don't want to go through the process. And we find that it doesn't achieve the purpose to which it was sent. But generally speaking, persecution, it has a cause. And that's why God has made it that His word in every age has always borne a reproach. know, to walk with Christ in every age. It always comes to the stage, it becomes almost a disgrace to walk with Him. Your reputation goes, your name goes, people will accuse you of this and that. And friends, it's coming to that now. For us to stand for what you believe in the days of Sodom, people are going to say you bigots and all these kind of things because of the things that you believe. That to stand true to the word, it's not going to be popular in society. You know, and friends, unless we're seeking God's grace to be faithful in the little things on a daily basis, you know, and we're facing up to those things and saying, Lord, this is an opportunity for me to show my true colors. Now, if you're compromising on the little things, when the great time comes, I just don't really see how we're going to have the strength and grace to stand. But He will be faithful if we've been true in the hour of the little temptations that we go through. It's always going to be like that. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. Let's not forget these principles. These things, they challenge me sometimes when I go back to them. But it's always good to be challenged by the word. Now, to really see what it is. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And who is he? He's the revealed word of the hour. He's the word. He's revealed truth. And friends, that's where the pressure comes in many times. You know, it comes in so subtly and so cunningly, and you just pray to say, Lord, you help me at that time when it comes, that I may just be equipped, that something will just kick in at that time, that I might just manifest a faithfulness towards you. But you know, I feel like we're saying on Friday to the young people, you know, it's a lot of pressure and a lot of temptation in this age. You know, it's so easy. We don't want to be different. We don't want to stand out from the rest of the people. We don't want to be the odd one out. We don't want to, you know, look like antiques or old-fashioned sorts of people in a time where, you know, everybody wants it to be trendy. You know, everybody wants, there's a certain style and there's a certain walk and there's a certain way of speaking which allows you to fit in with the rest of the people. But for you to make a stand at a time like that, that you have to be different than the rest of the people so that you can be faithful to Christ. It's not an easy thing, friends. It needs the grace of God. And unless we like Daniel, that we purpose in ourselves, we get it right inwardly first before we enter into it, we quite easily will give in the time of temptation, will deny Christ like Peter did. In that hour of temptation, when he thought, he was taking it easy and he entered into that trial, not in the spiritual condition that he should. And then that maiden said to him, I know who you are. You are with this Jesus. Your speech betrays you. And Jesus says, I don't know the man. And he denies Jesus with a curse. And then Jesus turns around from Caiaphas's palace and looks at Peter. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. But there was grace for him, you know. And there's all this grace by the grace of God, especially in this time as God is trying to prepare us for the things that are to come. But friends, let's never forget that. You know, let's never forget that if we deny him before men, if we deny what we believe, if we deny his word, so that we can be more popular with people, because you don't want to stand out from the rest of the people. Like I said, we're not looking for trouble. We're not looking for trials. We're not going to go and stand in the outside the mosque tomorrow morning with tracts against Islam, like some people do. That's tempting the Lord. That's putting yourself in a situation that you're making trouble for yourself. Now, we're not going to go with placards out there quoting Leviticus about homosexuality and stuff. I mean, you're looking for trouble. But when trouble gets you in the line of duty, when the Lord leads you into that situation, you being faithful, and then you call to give an account of the faith that is within you, may God grant us grace if you don't compromise. That we stand for Him because He stood for us. And if we stand for Him, He will stand for us. And if we stand for Him in the little things faithfully, friends, that's the training and that's the preparation for the greater things that are yet to come. You know, so it's a good thing, friends, to go back and search your life and saying, Lord, is there any fool's gold in my experience? Lord, is there anything inside of me that's fleshly? Is there anything inside of me that leans towards compromise? Lord, take it out of me. I don't want this inside of my life. And friends, that is why true, genuine, faithful preaching is God's grace. Now, Brother Max was preaching at New Year about boys cutting the styles into their hair and things like that. That's God's grace to you when somebody preaches like that. You know, sometimes we can take an offense and we can say, why is this person saying that? But it's God's grace to you. Now, God's trying to bring His truth to you and show you now, like in the book of Daniel, to say, don't compromise. Don't compromise on these seemingly little things. Because when you compromise on the little things, how are you going to stand in the greater hour? And how is He going to stand for you when you're denying His word now? Now, when His word says these things, and it's so easy, friends, to do those things. Now, that's why I'm glad in the book of Daniel, Daniel had his friends. He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they strengthened one another. And they encouraged one another in a difficult time. And that's why we need one another, friends. We need to be influencing one another in the right way. And like I say, for someone to come and preach the straight gospel, to show you what is right and to show you what is wrong, without compromise, it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. But you know, the prophet says, if you're not careful, he says the church can put pressure on a pastor. That will become difficult for him to say certain things. Now, I really do believe we need to encourage one another, friends. Now, just as much as I need to encourage you, as Brother Max needs, Brother Franz, or anyone who preaches needs to encourage one another, but you need to encourage us as well. You know, because we want to stand true to the word. You want to stand faithful because you want to get there on that day, and so do I. And to hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joys of the Lord prepared for you. You don't want to go there having compromised. No, you want to be like Paul to say, I've not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. No, you want to be that. And friends, I want to be that. And I'm sure that's what you really desire inside of your life. That you can hold the truth in love, but you won't compromise. The other week we spoke about grace. You know, this is now balancing grace. Because grace doesn't compromise like we said that week. Grace puts its priorities right, but grace will never compromise with anybody's sin. When Jesus bestowed grace to that woman caught in adultery, what did He say? Go and sin no more. There's no compromise in grace. But grace knows where to focus on first. It'll focus on the important issues and then sort out the other things down the way. But grace doesn't compromise. When grace came down in Eden with a message of grace, God didn't compromise with their sin. God punished them. The woman was given, you know, she will bring forth in travail, and Adam had now to toil and sweat and labor to bring forth from the fruits of the earth. And they were banished from the garden. There was a price to be paid for what they did. But grace didn't give them what they deserved. They deserved eternal separation, but grace gave them an atonement. Amen. But God didn't play around with their sin. He didn't wink at their sin. He didn't compromise with their sin. And I just wanted to say that because, you know, sometimes people misunderstand when you preach like that. I saw one person misunderstood that message. I think most people understood. But the prophet says it doesn't matter how you preach, people are always going to misunderstand you. But grace isn't compromise, friends. There's two different things here. But if you can have grace and you can have truth at the same time and know the balance, it's not an easy balance to keep sometimes. But that's what you're desiring to have. The prophet had that balance. The Lord Jesus Christ being the Word made flesh, He had that balance. He'd meet the woman at the well. He never compromised with her sin. He didn't. But He knew what to deal with first inside of her life. Grace went to her need first. And then everything else was sorted out down the way. But grace will never compromise with somebody. And we don't want God. We'd never want God to compromise with us. Because it's not going to be for our good. It's not going to be for His glory. We'd rather that He's faithful, deals faithfully with our souls. In a spirit of love, in a spirit of grace, but He tells us things the way that they are. Because that's the only way we can become what we're supposed to become. And that's the only way we can be separated from those things that entice us. You know, and that are harmful to us, and that are holding us back from the fullness of the promise. It's because compromise will keep you from the promise. That's why a compromise that seems to be your friend. Delilah seemed to be Samson's friend. But that was compromise. And in the end, it was very nearly his destruction. Until something genuine had to cry out from deep within and say, Lord, let me die with my enemies. He was willing to pay the supreme price to stay faithful to his commission. And then the grace of God stepped into his circumstances once again. But that's how compromise comes in. It comes in dressed up as an inviting proposition. Something held up in contrast to God's word. Say, you can live like this and you'll become the odd one out in your class. You know, you're going to become the old maid when all your other friends are marrying at 19 and maybe you're 25 years old, 30 years old, you're not yet married. Be careful, Satan's going to come in there to try to get you to compromise on what you know is the truth. But to walk in the Word is to walk with Christ. No, to walk in His Word is you walking with Him Himself. And that's why to walk with Him in any age, there's a price to be paid. Noah walked with God. It wasn't an easy age. Jesus calls our age the same as the days of Noah. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. But Noah walked with God. And to walk with God means you don't compromise. You can't compromise and walk with God. If you do compromise, you've got to go back, put it under the blood, make it right. Get back in line once again with Him. He'll strengthen you like He did to Peter when Peter denied Him. And Peter came and wept bitterly. Christ restored him because he had learned his lesson. And that's why Peter, down the way, when the great trial came, and he was told, compromise in what you believe and you can live. Continue to follow this Christ and you die. He chose the cross. And he said, crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way as my Lord. And they crucified Peter upside down. But he had learned his lessons. You know, and he had gone through the things that he went through. And he had purposed in himself, I'm not going to ever compromise like that again. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I can't remember the man's name. I think he's Bishop Latimer. I think he was a bishop in Britain in the 1500s. And now when Mary, Queen of Scots, took over and Catholicism took over and all the churches had to either say the Mass and do those things or close down. He stood, him and two others, and they were in prison, put in prison. And then it came time now for them to be burnt at the stake. I think it was 1555, around that sort of a time. And the two others went and were burnt at the stake. That when Bishop Latimer saw that, yeah, the flesh took control. And he denied what he believed. And he signed a recantation. When they said, you need to recant what you believed. And he signed it. And then he was let out of prison and he went back. And his conscience so haunted him after that, that in the end, he went and stood for the faith once again. And he was arrested, put back in prison, and they came and tormented him in the prison. But he says, no, I denied my Lord once. I'll never do it again. And they brought him to the stake. And they put the wood and they made the fire. And he took his right hand. You can read the account in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He says, thou cursed right hand that caused me to deny my Lord. And he stuck his hand into the flame. And he kept it into the flame until it was charred. Because he wanted just to show that this hand, I don't want to repeat this mistake that I've made. I don't want to do this once again. And then he died as a martyr. And the blood covered his sin. And wouldn't you want that as well? But friends, compromise seems to be our friend, but it's not your friend. It'll never bring the blessing. It'll never bring the promises. It'll never bring full communion with Christ. It'll never bring you to the fullness of what Christ has called you and ordained you to be. It's your enemy to hold you back from your inheritance. It's your enemy to hold you back from the promised land. But it's dressed up in an inviting way. It comes in that kind of a way. And if you're in the flesh and you esteem the things of the flesh, you'll be like Esau and you'll sell your birthright for a plate of pottage. Now just to satisfy your natural hunger, you'll sell out the principles of the word, the birthright, your inheritance, your spiritual inheritance. And the sad thing with Esau, when he came back later on wanting to repent, seeking a place for repentance, he couldn't find it anymore. That opportunity had passed him by. So with Peter, he found it, but with Esau, he couldn't find it. So friends, we don't want to be risking our souls with these kind of things. And especially in the days of our youth. And that's why for Daniel to become such a great witness down the way, it started off in the days of his youth. That never started off when he was an old man. Look in Daniel chapter 1. Let's just look at Daniel before we get on to another thought. Daniel 1 verse 8. You know that if we as believers, especially the young people, the children, the youth, could have the same desire, the same, what would you call it, the same characteristic inside of us. Daniel 1 verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now I really like the way that Daniel did it. Daniel wasn't arrogant in what he did. He wasn't looking for a fight. He wasn't trying to pick an argument with somebody. It was in the line of duty. He didn't go looking for that trouble, but it came upon him in his walk as a believer. And he saw that, I can see where this is going. And then when he saw now the big man there, the chef, and he brought out whatever, the pig, whatever it was, which had been dedicated to Marduk or whatever the god was of the Babylonians. And then he started to see the carving knife. Daniel knew inside of himself, I can see where this is going. But he was a man that was faithful to his God. He was young at this time. He was a teenage boy. And then the man starts carving the meat and putting it on the plate and comes and sets it down before them. And maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying, Daniel, what are we going to do here? And he said, let's be faithful to our God. Let's stand for him and let's see how he stands for us. But he wasn't arrogant. When that man came maybe and says, but why are you guys not eating the food? He answered in such a nice way. And he says, you know, it's against the law of our God. And the man says, but you've got to eat. And then he says, but rather, give us food in accordance with our law. Let us eat, you know, pulse and vegetables and so forth for 10 days. Then you compare us with them and see who's the most healthy. And God came and quickened and blessed. And God gave him favor in the sight of that man. Because it wasn't yet his time to pay the supreme price. You know, so I do believe we need to be wise in those kind of times. But being wise doesn't mean that you compromise. Being wise means you want to try to present, give an account of your faith in the best possible way. You're not just trying to cause an offense. You're not trying to pick a fight with somebody. But you know there's a certain line that this person's trying to get me to cross. And it's not right for my conscience for me to cross this line. That's when you say, no, I can't cross this line. And if it's going to cost me my job, if it's going to cost me this privileged position as being one of the young men being raised as one of the, you know, these young men are going to become the counselors of the king. There was a lot that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have lost at that time. But when they weighed up all the privilege and the potential of what they were being offered, the fleshly things, it was an inviting proposition. But when they compared it now with the price it was going to cause them to pay in their conscience and not being able to walk with God and pray and worship him and fulfill his purpose, they weighed things up correctly and they said, take the world and give me Jesus, like the song says. And that to them was their priority. But first he had to purpose that in his heart. That's where the victory is won first. If you young sisters would purpose in your hearts to say, it doesn't matter what they say about the way that I dress. I'm going to dress according to the word. I'm going to dress in a way that's pleasing to my Lord. And you young men, if you think and say, but I don't care. I've purposed in my heart. I don't care if the rest of the people call me a goody-goody. If the rest of the young men say that I'm missing out on this and missing out on that, I'm going to be faithful to Christ, the one who died for me, the way that has established a kingdom for me. You know, and if you'd purpose, if you'd get it right inwardly first in your heart, if you'd really prayerfully put the things down and see what it is that's being asked of you, you'll enter into those trials a lot easier than if you just had ease in Zion and you're compromising and playing around and then the season of trial comes upon you and you're not prepared for it. And you find yourself denying the Lord and hindering your faith and stumbling other people. I'm sure none of us want to do that, friends. There's grace if you do it. There's the blood that has been shed. Now he'll take us back and he'll encourage us once again. But like I said, then he'll bring us back to that same situation again. Because that's on the way to our full adoption. He wants us to overcome that. He wants us to show our true colors in those kind of situations. You know, so I think that Daniel was a real, real wise man, the way that he handled those things. Now in the message, present stage of the ministry, the prophet brings up a principle about all of these people in the Bible that were put to the test. And he's speaking in present stage of the ministry mainly about when you stand true to the word, people are going to leave you. Now when you really make a true stand for the word, a lot of those people that you thought were your friends, they're not going to be there much longer. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was 18 years old, and I took a stand for Christ. My friends disappeared. They disappeared. I would go and try to speak to them, and it was like I'd gone crazy to the people. But that's the price that you have to pay to walk with Christ. You can't please Christ and please the world. It doesn't work. We have to make up our minds. Remember that day when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he challenged the people and he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? Now you've got to get it right in here first to have one opinion. You've got a purpose in yourself. Make it up. I'm a Christian. The world behind me, the cross before me. I've decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And friends, you're going to get to times that you're going to have to live that song out in your life. But God, when those friends depart from you, He gives you real friends. He gives you real friends in the kingdom. When those people forsake you, He will never forsake you. He will give you the real things that He proposed for you inside of His eternal plan that He has for you. And that's when those boys come by all dressed up and all smelling like the world. And they come and they want to seduce and entice and promise you all these kind of things. Propose inside of your heart to say, I'm not going to compromise with the things of the flesh. And you'll find that God has a provision for you that's so far beyond what the world can offer to you. God already has something that if you stand true to Him, He'll step in and He'll be true to you. But many times He's going to put that to the test first. Before the promise comes, He's going to put us to the test to find out what really is inside of our lives. And that's why these times of temptation come, these times of trial. They can be the most glorious times when God grants you grace and you have the right attitude in your heart as you go through them. But otherwise, there can be a great stumbling block, a great cause of offense if we yield to that temptation, give ourselves over to that situation. The prophet says in paragraph 91, how a servant that'll stand true to the word. Now, every one of us, I'm sure here, who's a Christian, wants to be a servant who stands true to the word. That should be surely, friends, the primary objective in our lives. That I want to stand true to the word. I want to stand true to the word. It says sooner or later, just remember, the people are going to forsake him. Now the natural people are going to forsake you, friends. The fleshly ties that bind, they're going to forsake you at that kind of a time. And only that which is of the kingdom when the shaking time comes. Everything else will perish, but only the kingdom will remain. Only the things that are established on the principles of the kingdom. The kingdom relationships. Now the kingdom foundation that you've got, it can't be shaken. It's going to stand. He goes on to say that he says, take anywhere you want to, any time in the Bible or in history, when a servant stayed true to the word, the time came when the religious world forsaken him and cut him off. Now just the religious people. Now they may say they're Christians and so forth, but you make a real stand as a message believer and see how quickly they depart from you. Because of the difference, because you wanted to stand for the fullness of the word. You wanted to really walk with Christ. But the rest of it, friends, it becomes a hybrid religion. It's mixing the world and mixing Christianity. But you make a real stand where you want to really, you know, you want to walk with Him in your age. There's a price to be paid. But what a blessing that it is when you're willing to pay that price. The prophet says you have to hit that place. It has to come. That testing time. God's going to test your profession of faith. He says, you know, men try to seek honor one from another. They honor one another and dishonor God by doing so. You know, we get to those situations that we want to please this person, we want to please that person. And you quickly learn it, friends, that you dishonor God by doing that. No, the best thing is honor Him. Stand for Him. Stand in His word by His grace. And friends, by honoring Him, you'll see how much He'll stand for you. But we seek honor from people. You know, the peer pressure that comes upon us from our friends, from our associates, from our family many times when they don't yet understand what we believe. When they haven't really yet had a fair opportunity to believe what we've believed. That peer pressure comes upon us. And if you're not careful, in that hour of temptation, we want to seek honor from the people that are around and about us. No, we want to be accepted by them and for them to pat us on the back and so forth. And you go home and you'll be like Peter and you feel so defiled inside of yourself. Just say, how could I have compromised? How could I have denied my Lord like that? But friends, when God grants you the grace and you make a stand at a time like that, what a blessed thing that it really is. And may the Lord help us to purpose inside of ourselves. He continues on, but he says, now, here's the thing I want to kind of exercise on for a few moments. It's usually at such a time as this, when man has stayed true to the word, and all men has forsaken him, God steps in defense of that person and crowns your ministry. You know, so there's always the hour of temptation first. You're going to be put to the test. There's going to be an inviting proposition to compromise, to take an alternative, to seek the easier way. But by the grace of God, when you stand in that hour, he steps in and crowns your profession. And that becomes the crowning times in your experience. And that's when you see just how well worthwhile it was. What a glorious kind of a thing it is. The prophet then goes on to say, I think, he says, no matter what the world says, what the world does, that's not our hopes. Our hope isn't built in what the world is doing. He says, I think that song is so pretty, wished I could sing. They that wait upon the Lord. And then he takes this verse from it. He says, teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. And in your own good time, you will answer my pleas. Teach me. You're asking, Lord, teach me not to rely on what others do. Let me not be relying on other people, Lord. Let me not be relying upon the opinions of other people, the favor of other people. But Lord, let me wait upon you. Let me be relying on you. Let me teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Oh, friends, that's the way you overcome in your hour of temptation, is you wait upon him. Because the flesh want to bombard you. The greatest battle ever fought will be in your mind. The devil will be trying to tell you all these kind of things. But when you get yourself quiet before the Lord, and you have the right attitude, say, Lord, I don't want to compromise here, Lord. Lord, I want to please you. I don't know what it is that you're expecting of me, but teach me, Lord, not to rely upon what other people are doing. Let not the opinions of people govern my behavior, Lord. Let not the relationships that I have outside of your kingdom govern the stand that I take. But Lord, let this be something that's a personal conviction because of a personal communion that I have with you. Because of the reality of who you are to me and what you've done for me, Lord. Let that be what governs me and the decisions that I make and the things that I do. And it's going to be put to the test. Because you're going to read in the Word, as we saw on Friday, about dressing. And you're going to see there's certain, the vast majority of the dress in this age, it's sexy dress. It's sex appeal. It's ungodly. It's displaying ourselves out before people. Yet right from Eden, when God came down, he clothed the nakedness of his people. It's always been the case. It's your protection to keep you from temptation, to keep you from leading other people into temptation. That's why Paul said, when you dress, dress as women who profess godliness with modest apparel. Dress with humble. It can be pretty, can be nice. Like we said, the prophet said, we read it on Friday. The prophet says, I'm not saying you need to go back and take your clothing out of the antique box. No, you don't have to dress like one of those people from those films from the 1600s. But it's dressing in modest apparel. But friends, it's going to be a peer pressure. The moment you make up your mind to do that, to say, I'm going to fulfill the word. I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to give him the preeminence, the headship in the way that I dress. It's going to be put to the test. Because you're going to have your friends, they're going to come and they're going to be dressed just so sexy. And they're going to come and they're going to ask, but how are you dressing? What is this that you're putting on? That's the pressure, friends, that comes. But we've got to stand. Because that little hour of temptation, a lot depends on it. You may not think a lot depends on that decision, but I don't see how if you're compromising all the time in those little seasons, what about when the big time comes? What about when they close us down and maybe you have to, you know, stand before the court for what you believe? Imagine when somebody comes around to interrogate you on what you believe. and you haven't been able in the small hour of temptation to make a true stand for Christ, know that the pressure is big and you keep giving in to that pressure. Friends, may God help us on that. May God help us to be faithful in the little things, because Jesus said, he who is faithful in that which is small, he will be faithful in that which is great. But if you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the great things. So these things that the Lord puts across our path, it's a season of trial, which is going to prepare us and equip us. It's going to free us from certain bonds of the flesh, certain temptations of the flesh. It's going to establish us the right way if we'll allow it to achieve its purpose inside of our life. But we need grace at that kind of a time to purpose in ourselves. But Lord, you know, I know what these people are going to say to me, but I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk with you because you hang on the cross naked before the people for me. How can I deny you? You've opened heaven's gates to me. There's a future home waiting for me. There's a new heavens, a new earth. There's a paradise waiting for me. Lord, for just a few morsels of bread here, I'll sell out my birthright, friends. You don't want to be selling out your birthright for a plate of pottage. Just because of your natural appetites, you're selling out your inheritance. Don't do that. That's why the Lord said it there. He says, when you come into, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. The next verse says, hold fast that which you have, lest someone steal your crown. Let no man rob you of your crown. No matter how good looking he is, not how pretty she is, no matter how friendly people may be, like I say, you do it with the right approach, but let no man rob you of your crown. Let nobody keep you back from your inheritance. Let nobody, don't admit them in close enough to influence you strongly enough that they cause you to stumble, for you to compromise. That's not godly friendship, friends. Those are the types of friends you need to separate yourself from until you get strong enough to go and witness the truth to them. But if you're not yet strong enough, spend time like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Daniel, that when the season of trial came and the king made a proclamation, all the wise men are to die. Daniel went and said, give me one day. What's the first thing he did? He gathered his friends together and they prayed and they sought the Lord God of heaven. And they united themselves together and strengthened and encouraged one another in that season of trial. And God came down that night in a night vision and revealed the dream to Daniel. And he went in before Nebuchadnezzar and told him the great dream of the image that he had had. I think that's what we need, friends. We need to be helping and strengthening one another. Like I always say, like Jonathan strengthened David in his hour of temptation. Strengthened his hand in God, the Bible says. Friends, we need it. At the officers' prayer meeting the other day, we were speaking about that one of discouragement and encouragement. Because any public ministry, the greatest thing you're going to have to overcome is discouragement. You know, it's just one of the things Satan's going to always be throwing at you. There's always going to be trying to discourage you, always be trying to pull you down. And that's why the prophet says, we need to lift up the hands of the ministry, like Aaron and Hur lifted up the arms of Moses. Because friends, anybody has any position in Christ, anybody is trying to serve the body of Christ, you are far greater target of the devil than somebody who's not in that office. Just by assuming that office, by assuming that spiritual position in Christ, you become a far greater target of the devil. Friends, if Satan can cause me to give up this week, it's going to have some repercussions here. It's not going to be so good for a while until people have to find someone else and sort things out. So obviously, who's he going to try to hammer? He's going to try to hammer me as much as he can. And friends, you don't mind it if it's coming from without. But when it comes from within, it's difficult to bear it sometimes. And that's how we need to encourage one another. We need to be lifting one another's hands up. Because friends, it's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual warfare. If you find a prophet got discouraged that time and had to come to say to his people, saints, pray for me. I was discouraged. I was thinking of, you know, doing something new, getting up to Alaska. Imagine the potential that's inside of you and me. Now Elijah saying, Lord, I'm no better than my fathers. Better take my life. You know, you find that. It's you know, saying, I don't want this anymore. Moses turning his back on the people and heading 40 years into the wilderness. You know, because of discouragement that he met among the sons and daughters of God. You know, I would say the greatest thing that we can do to help one another, I would love to encourage you. And the other ministry, I would love to encourage you. Encourage us as well. Encourage us along the way. And one of the greatest ways you can do it is to pray. Because to lift up somebody's hands is in prayer. Pray for people that hold any spiritual office in this place. Because it will be for your good. Because if I have peace and God is quickening me, it's going to help you. When I stand up here, God's going to give me something to help you. So friends, we need one another. And the world's always going to try to press itself in. It's always going to try to come in to bring that discouragement. You know, but Jonathan strengthened David's hands in God. And he was a God-given brother, a brother born for the day of adversity, a brother born just to minister to David in that season, in that time of trial. And that's God's grace to you when you're standing faithful and true to Him. So the prophet says, and then he continues on, he says, we're waiting in prayer for the Lord to answer. He says, that's it. That's the true servant that. He waits for the master's turn. You know. So you find Jesus says it. Look at Daniel. Daniel makes a stand himself. The proclamation comes up in Daniel chapter 6. Any person that prays to any other god but to the king for the next 30 days will be cast into the den of lions. Now that's a type of our day, especially the tribulation period to come. What's going to come upon the Jews mainly? You know, that's what the prophet says. It came in with Daniel with the persecution. It goes out with the persecution, the Gentile times. What does Daniel do? He's going to make a stand for Christ. He just continues on in the line of duty. He doesn't change anything. I'm sure just the intensity of his prayer changed. And he goes morning, noon, evening. The 3 hours of prayer. He's praying before the Lord. As aforetime. I don't know if the brothers on Wednesday, did you manage to listen to Brother Donnie on that one? It was a very good message, that one there. That's where I got the principal thought from. Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching about that, about Daniel when he came at those 3 hours of prayer. And he put himself before the Lord. There was no compromise in him. There was no willingness to compromise. But like I said, he didn't pick a fight. He wasn't arrogant. He just met the trial in the line of duty. But he had proposed right from the days of his youth. He had been tested in smaller things in days gone by. Now came the big test. And now he said, I'm going to stand for the Lord. And Daniel stood for the Lord. When they came to his house and they knew, like he said on Wednesday there, they knew the only way they were going to get him was according to the laws of his God. They tried to get him in money, woman, popularity, all those. They couldn't get the man. They knew the only way we can cause this man to stumble, we've got to cause the laws to be passed that are going to cause these people to break the law. That's the day we're living in, friends. And we've already moved quite far down that road. We'll look at it another time. But that's where they're going to get us in the end. Because you're going to have to break the law to become true to what you believe. To preach what you believe. To live what you believe. To teach people what you believe from the scripture. It's going to be contrary to the laws of the land. Sealed by the seal of the king. That's an hour of temptation, friends. That's a real hour of temptation when it starts to come in. You know, I just read it yesterday at home. I once lent it to Brother Wilmer. I remember the history of the Reformation. It's a very good book. And speaking about Martin Luther. Now Martin Luther, just being a monk, just a nobody in the whole of Europe. But God had a season now that God spoke to Luther. Luther was sending out the word as much as he could. But the Lord says, no, there's a far better way for me to show this truth forth. And he got Rome now to turn against Luther. And the Pope excommunicated Luther. And then the Emperor Charles. It was in his kingdom that Luther was living. He forms the great diet, the great council of Worms. And he says, Luther, you must come and present yourself in the next 21 days. And they say it was the most august assembly that had ever assembled until that time. There were so many kings, there were so many dignitaries, ambassadors, and there were 204 people in all, if you go and read it. And God has a simple, humble monk, yeah? Against the whole of the excellency of the Roman Empire. And they gather in this great place. And they bring this insignificant man in who had the word of the hour. And that man, God, by putting him into that trial, had brought forth such a greater testimony, such a greater effect of the Reformation than all that Luther could have done in his own strength and his own ability. But the devil, in bringing him in, thinking, I'm going to shut this man's mouth and making it such a big, auspicious occasion, when Luther stood there boldly and defended what he believed, knowing it was going to cost him his life, it had such an effect upon the people. On many of those kings that were gathered there, on many of the barons and the dukes that were gathered there, they were won over to the Reformation by that stand of Luther. And God used that occasion. But if Luther had have given in, if he had have looked and said, but hey, let me head to the mountains here. But you know what he said, Luther? He said, they've called me and I'm going to go. Because I will never desert the cause of Christ on the battlefield. That's what he said. I will never desert the cause of Christ on the battlefield. I like that. I said, Lord, help us to be like that. On your battlefield at college, sisters. At your battlefield at school, you young brothers and sisters. Us at work, wherever we are. On the battlefield, let's never desert the battlefield. Desert Christ on the battlefield. But may he grant us grace. And Luther said it. He says, consider this. The great privilege that Christ has given for me to testify of him and his word before all of these people. 5,000 witnesses, 204 that were in the tribunal that he had to stand before. And this little monk who was a nobody, but he was walking with Christ in his day. He turned the world upside down in his day. And things never turned back from there until our day. Now when the Lutherans have gone back and joined up with Rome once again. But it's an inspiring thing to read of, friends. To read of these things. But it starts off in small things. It starts off on your little battlefield you're going to face tomorrow when you get to school. My little battlefields that I'm going to face up to at work. If they come and want me to do something which is against my conscience. And because I don't want to lose privilege or I don't want to offend, I yield and I submit. Friends, I don't want to be that kind of a person. I'm sure you don't want to be that kind of a person either. But I want the fool's gold. God to take me through trial until the fool's gold is taken out of my experience. Until there's just something genuine that when the trial comes, it shines forth for his glory. And in all humility, in all simplicity, like Luther did, he stood for that which was right. And they threatened him and they did this, that, and the other. And he said, standing before the emperor, he said one thing. He said, I've deeply considered what I'm about to say. He says, because my Lord told me, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the angels. But if you will confess me before men, I will confess your name in the presence of the Holy. And that was one of the great scriptures that Luther was holding on to when he stood that day. And friends, let's keep that scripture before us. Because friends, Christ is so worthy to be stood for. You know, it's so worthy. Who is better to stand, even to suffer in his cause for? There's nobody that can compare with him. You know, to suffer because of politics, to suffer because of whatever, that's sad. You know, to suffer because of your race, it's not nice. To suffer because you're foreign, it's not nice. But friends, to suffer for Christ is a privilege. To suffer for him because you're bearing his name, that you're willing to bear his reproach. It's the greatest privilege that could be given to you and I. And you go back to those early ages. The prophet says, all of those Christians in the early ages had one desire. If only I can be a martyr for Christ. Now that was under the anointing of the ox. We know that. We're not under that anointing now. But every one of them desired that to say, oh, if only he would count me worthy to lay down my life for him. To die for him who died for me. That I might seal my testimony, like Paul said, with my blood. Now friends, I sincerely hope, I don't believe any of us would be called to do that. You never know. We're not in that season. We'll have a squeeze and then there'll be a body change before the full persecution comes in. But friends, before we get to that body change, before he steps in on our behalf, he's going to test our profession. He's going to test how we will stand for him. And if we will stand firm, he says, I'll keep you from that hour of temptation. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. He'll step in on you. I've just come into a close. That's why the prophet's speaking of these people. He speaks of all these peoples of the past, that when they stood true, Christ came and crowned them in that season. He speaks of Elijah. Imagine the pressure on Elijah. We don't think of it, but we're living in the days of Elijah. It was Jezebel religion. We're living in the days of Jezebel religion as well. Uniting of the churches, World Council of Churches, Rome's going to rule it all, we know in the end. But you're also living in the days. Jezebel in that day set the fashions of the day. She was the first one in the Bible who painted her face. She was the first one in the Bible who dressed that kind of a way to seduce. Who was Jehu, whoever it was. So there's the two sides to the Jezebel spirit in this age, friends. There's the Jezebel religion, which we're withstanding with all our might. But there's also the spirit of Jezebel. In the fashions, Jezebel in Hollywood, Jezebel in all these kind of things. And friends, you don't want to compromise with either of them. But they're going to put pressure like they did in the days of Elijah. Until finally Jezebel had everything in her power. And she put to death the prophets of the Lord. And the only ones who survived were the ones that were hidden away in a cave. And Elijah, who God sent to Brook Cherith and kept him alive in that day. But it was a day of trial, friends. And the prophet says, when Elijah stood faithful to thus saith the Lord in that day. And he was suffered for it. He was persecuted for it. He was put out, ostracized from society for the word that he stood for the reproach of that word. He says, but in the end, God crowned him by sending a fiery chariot. And the man never saw death. And God translated Elijah because he had been found faithful. And friends, that's the promise to us in this age as well. That we shall not see death. Paul says, do you not know, some of us shall not see death, but we shall be changed. But look at how Elijah stood first before his change came. Elijah had to be tried and found faithful and true. Then the crowning time came. The third pull dropped down just in the season that he needed it. Just like it was with all the other servants of God. Then he speaks about Daniel. And you think of the Lord stepping into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's circumstances. That was the third pull, friends. That was Christ who stepped down and suspended the elements of fire. They didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them. But let's backtrack and see these people from their youth. Let's backtrack a few days and see the stand which they took when intense pressure was put upon them. Imagine all of the people gathered, thousands of them on the plain of Dura, whatever it was called. Everybody had to bow down to that golden image. Otherwise, you'd be cast into the fiery furnace. Now, we've heard it so many times that we lose the reality of what it means. You're going to pay with your life. And you can imagine now when the sound of the trumpet and the sackbut and all the different musical instruments, and then everybody goes down and bows. Imagine the pressure, friends, at that time. But these were people that had proposed inside of themselves and had strengthened one another and said, united we stand, divided we fall. And when everybody else bowed down, there were just three men standing there that day on the plain. And then the wrath of the government came upon them. Nebuchadnezzar, he was fiercely angry with them. And he gave them an opportunity to repent, to bow down. And he says, which God is there that will deliver you from the fiery furnace? And they answered, why? They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not even going to hesitate to answer you here. We don't even have to give this a second thought. Even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing down to this image. That takes grace, friends. That takes a certain condition in soul that God has led you through, that there's not much fool's gold in that experience there. There's not much leaning on the flesh in that spiritual life there when the great hour of temptation came. And then when they now stood true, they kept the word of his patience. When they were cast into the fiery furnace, he says, I will deliver you. And here came the Son of Man, and he stepped right down with them into their circumstances. But there's always something that leads up to those experiences, friends. I don't think a compromising life brings forth the blessing of God, and you know it yourself. Now, for us to get to the fullness of the blessing, the fullness of the inheritance, we need to search ourselves, friends. We need to say, Lord, search me and try me and take out any evil thing inside of me. Take out anything that wants to compromise with this world. Let me just live with you being such a reality in my life that I'm not governed by the opinions of people, what people think about me, the influence people are trying to put upon me. But Lord, let me walk with you as Enoch walked with God. Lord, let me walk with you as Noah walked with God. That's what the bride is called to, friends. And I'm glad there's many people here walking with God. But once in a while, we just need to be reminded, friends, that compromise is our enemy. You know, as you move closer and closer to the hour of temptation, as you're going to more and more need him to step in with the third pull to do what we can't do in the hour of trial, Now's the time we set it up. Now's the time we establish the testimony. Now's the time we get the foundation right. Now's the time we get purged of the leaven from our experience. So that on that day, by His grace, we'll stand faithful to Him. And if you stand faithful to Him, He's going to stand faithful to you. Same like Daniel, when the angel of the Lord came down there in the lion's den. You know, the man had to, knowing what it was going to cost him. Imagine if you and I today, we know when I go and pray today, or if I go to church today, I'm going to be arrested at church. How many people would come to church? Hey, Brother Will, God bless you. Brother Will put his hand. By the grace of God, the believers would come. We would, because we've purposed in our hearts. The devil will come and try to trick you in your mind and play games with you. But when you just would go and pray and say, Lord, You give me the grace. You give me the strength. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the strength. But if we knew coming to church today meant we're going to be arrested by the authorities because of what you believe, that's a test. But Daniel knew that. Daniel knew the moment I go and I open up those shutters and I set my face towards Jerusalem and pray as I normally would three times a day, I'm in the lion's den. That's a man of God, friends. That's an outstanding man. That's what the Bible says. There was an excellent spirit in him. He was a man of an excellent spirit. He was a spirit man. He wasn't a flesh man. No, it was the spirit that was preeminent in Daniel. What he did, he thought of the spiritual side. He always put that first. He had an excellent spirit in him. And then they took him that day, and the king was such a good man. And the king wrestled unto the going down of the sun, trying to see how Daniel could get free. But they couldn't change the law. And then Daniel says, don't worry about it, king. My God that I've served, He will look after me. And friends, that's the confidence that you and I need. You know, in these little trials we go through now, these little circumstances now, these are the things that establish that confidence in us now. Like with David with his slingshot and the lion and the bear. That's where he got the confidence from, to know that this uncircumcised Philistine, the same God who delivered the lion and the bear, is the same one who's going to deliver this one into my hands. But it's the small things that build up to the big things, friends. And that's why I would really, really exhort each and every one of us today, let's not play with compromise. Let's not play with compromise. And as we've just finished preaching on prayer these weeks gone by, it's very difficult without prayer. Now, a prayer for life is a life that not easily is going to compromise. That when you're not prayerful, when we're at ease in Zion, when the flesh has the preeminence, it's so easy to compromise it, and you regret and you feel burdened, and you know, you're going back with before the Lord with all these burdens in your soul to say, Lord, I didn't mean to do it like that. But a watchful life, a prayerful life, watch and pray lest you enter temptation. I think that's the order of the day, and more so as we see that evil day approaching. The prophet then finishes off speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ will finish with him because he's the greatest of all. Imagine him. Imagine all of the pressure that came on Jesus to compromise. Those threefold temptation of the devil. Then when the Pharisees would come, all the opposition he had go through. Now as a man, I'm sure he had times that his flesh would speak to him to say, but hey, this sometimes isn't easy. You know, he was a man. He had to be tempted in all ways like unto us, yet without sin. You know, see, he went through trial in that, but what did he say? He says, I only do that which pleases my Father. That was the key. You know, he was so much mindful of what pleased his Father. That's what governed his life. It wasn't what pleased him. It wasn't what pleased the people around and about him. But he only did that which pleased his Father. He was the Word made flesh. There wasn't much for the devil to aim at in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was really just so outstanding. But he came to that time that because of his stand, because of who he was, he came into the hour of darkness and everybody forsook him. The prophet says, now his church forsaken him. All men and nature forsaken him. Talk about somebody being forsaken. Paul had no forsaking at all compared to what Jesus had. Even the very creation that he created forsook him. The sun went dark. In the midst of the day, the moon and the stars and the sun and everything, God and all, man, God, nature, everything forsook him. Nothing was standing there with him. He died alone. The prophet says, but did he lose his ministry? He says he was fulfilling his ministry, not losing it. That goes with it, he says. Now, before he came to his crowning time, and what was Jesus' crowning time? Was the resurrection morning. He was crowned with the resurrection. He was crowned when he was raised from the tomb. Elijah was crowned with the rapture. Christ was crowned with the resurrection because of the testimony that he had before that. Because he was willing to lay his life down. He was willing to pay the supreme price to fulfill the requirements of Jehovah, to do that which pleased his Father. But it wasn't easy, as we said, in Gethsemane, when he had to wrestle and agonize and overcome himself and get to that stage that he said, Father, thy will be done. And then he entered into it. The prophet says he was fulfilling his ministry. That's what goes with it. That's the thing that takes place that has to go with it, the forsaking time. Everything forsaken him. But it was at this time that God stepped in on the scene. Because any man that knows the word will stay with the word, knowing the word is God. The unfailing word must unfold itself. So in the unfolding of the word, we have our part we have to play. We have to be faithful to our portion of the word. And then when it gets to the great time where we can't do anything about it, the word's going to unfold itself into the next stage of the unveiling of the word. And he's going to step in on your behalf. And he's going to do what you can't do. Can you see how the word unfolds itself? That there's going to be emphasis on us. And then the emphasis shifts onto him. Daniel's going to have to say, I'm true. And then the angel's going to come down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to have to make a no compromise stand. Then there's going to be a fourth man in the fire. Elijah's going to have to bear the reproach, stand true though he's forsaken by all men, threatened with his life. And then there's a rapture. Then there's the fiery chariot. It's always this principle of the word. So as we close, friends, let's seek the grace of God. Wherever you are in your Christian experience, the greatest thing that you can do is just get closer to the Lord. Just get close in prayer. Just get closer. On Friday, we're looking with the young people at prayer and fasting. The importance of fasting in those seasons of trial, seasons of affliction, to put something extra in your prayer, to grant you that additional focus, that additional quickening that you need to overcome certain trials and conditions. Let's really, really yield ourselves as he leads us in this kind of an occasion. And let's remember that if we deny him before men, he's going to deny us. But friends, if we'll stand for him and confess him and whatever the circumstances, by his grace, he's so faithful. And he's going to unfold that next portion of the word. And he's going to step in on our behalf when there's nothing that we can do. And that's the promises that we look forward to. So may the Lord bless us. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship before we come now to baptism. The hour of temptation. We're right in the shadows, friends. We see it building. We see the storm clouds brewing on the horizon. May the Lord help us just to make sure, like Brother Mike said, that Jesus is in the boat. You know, that Christ is really in the boat. So that when the storm comes and we cry out to him, he'll step in and he'll still the storm. Let's sing one song, Brother Joe. Let's sing I Know the Master of the Wind.
My boat of life
sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale,
I know
the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights above the beach, my soul can be found. And
unexpected storm may drive me from the heart. Brings me low, but never brings me down. Oh, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Sometimes I soar
like an eagle to the heights. Above the peaks, my soul can be found. Unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Brings me low, but never brings. I know the master of the wind.
I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the waves. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the waves. I know the master of the wind.
Maybe you don't know the master of the wind. It's a good opportunity now, friends, to get to know him. Before the trials come, you don't know what sickness is coming down the way. You don't know what misfortune is coming down the way. You don't know the storms of life that are coming. Would it not be wonderful today to set everything right with him so that you know that Jesus is in the boat? That you can say, I know there's nothing today between my soul and my Savior. Everything's under the blood. I've proposed inside of my heart by His grace. As He gives me power to become a son and daughter of God, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand for Him. I'm going to stand for Him in this ungodly generation that speaks evil of His word, that speaks evil of His death, that speaks evil of His church. But I'm going to make a real stand for Him. Because I know that if I stand for Him, He will stand for me. It's a blessed thing, friends. Let that be the resolution. Let's sing one more song. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord today. Whatever the Lord has put in your heart, if you need to know Him, speak to Him and say, Jesus, I want to know You.
Hallelujah.
If you need to know Him better, say, Lord, I want to know You better. I want a deeper walk. I want a closer walk, a deeper experience with You. I think it's the greatest prayer that you could pray.
Jireh, my provider, You are more than enough for me.
Jehovah Rapha,
You my healer, by Your stripes I have been set free. Jehovah Shammah, You are with me.
You supply more than enough. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah
before the Lord, just put yourself before the Lord before we come to the baptism. Heavenly Father, Lord, just need you, Lord. I just so desire that, Lord. Even as you see my heart, even as you know my desire, Lord, upon this day, even as you know my petition before thee, Lord, at this time, you grant me that grace, Lord, just for that closer walk.
Lord, Father, we ask your grace to lift their lives, Lord. Guide us, Lord, lift us, Lord. Shepherd us, Jesus. Grant us this, we desire.
If you ever have a desire before the Lord, if you want to just raise your hand. Father, we bring our hands, Lord, up before thee, Lord, as just an outward symbol, Lord, of a desire that's inside of our hearts, Lord. And the greatest thing that we desire is more of you. Father, the greatest thing we'd want is to know you more. Father, Lord, that your holy fire, Lord, would just come and just purge us, Lord, of all that would be of the flesh, that all that would be of man, that all that would be of this life, that, Father, Lord, inside of our souls, Lord, Father, we may just be like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Lord, as the peoples of the past, as the prophet of this day. Father, a people, Lord, that were willing to pay the price. Father, to walk with you, which is the most glorious thing, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for how you've revealed yourself. Thank you for the things that you've done. Oh, Father, but how we just desire more of you. Father, how we just desire, Lord, Father, that you would just draw nigh unto each and every soul upon this day, even in this place, and just reveal your glory. Even as Moses prayed, show us your glory, Lord. Father, reveal it, Lord. Let our eyes, Lord, spiritual eyes, see who you are. And Father, this world and the things of this world and peer pressure, Lord, all these things become so insignificant, Lord. If we can just walk with you, Lord. I pray for the young people, Lord. I pray for the youth. I pray for our children. Oh, Lord Jesus, the greatest thing we can do is apply the token to them, Lord. Father, just to ask of thee, Father, just at a young age, reveal yourself unto their souls, O Lord. For that is their defense against this generation that you've allowed us to be in, Lord. I pray for each brother, each sister, Lord, each young brother, each young sister. I pray for each married couple, Lord. I pray for each home. I pray, Lord, for each and every one who's here, Lord, upon this day. For those, Lord, of our people that wouldn't be here upon this day, just wanting to lift and bring ourselves before thee. Father, have the preeminence, Lord. Continue to lead us and guide us, Lord. We just want to walk with you. Grant us that unspeakable privilege, Lord. And Father, as we walk in the light, Father, your blood continually cleansing us, Lord. You said we have fellowship one with another. So lead us and guide us, Lord, as we look unto thee upon this day. And as we come unto this baptism, bless our brother Greg. Bless, Lord, even his wife, Lord, I pray. Lord, bless her as well. And Father, Lord, be with us in all these things. Father, we thank you for somebody, Lord, seeking your kingdom. We thank you that you've spoken to the soul of your son and that he's responded already, Lord, and he's coming to give a witness upon this day of the decision that he's made to follow Jesus. So may you bless him, bless the baptism. Be with us in all, Father, as we go from this place after. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So let's read one scripture here before our brother goes to get ready for the baptism. Mark chapter 16, let's read from verse 15. It's a wonderful thing to respond. When the Lord speaks to you, just to respond. That's all the Lord really expects of us, is that we respond to him. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you've got to believe first and then be baptized. And many of us were baptized as babies. We had no belief, no faith, no repentance before our baptism. So that's why baptism is only for people who believe and have made a decision. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let's read Acts chapter 2 as well, just to show the way of baptism. This is the birth of the church. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, when the word was preached, and the men in Jerusalem heard it, verse 37, and they heard the preaching of the word. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Simple. May the Lord bless as our brother would do it. Has the brother gone to get his clothes? Yes, good. Let's sing a little bit while he gets himself prepared for the baptism.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
For you and me.
See on the portals he's watching and we're watching, watching for you and for me.
Come home.
Come home.
home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me?
For you and me.
Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me?
Come home,
come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
He's calling,
calling, oh sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me.
From you and me.
Shadows are gathering and deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me.
Come home,
come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
He's calling,
calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised.
He has promised,
promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me.
Come home,
come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
He's calling,
calling, oh sinner, come home.
So saints, we're really glad today for Brother Greg. He wants to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has spoken to his heart. He's responded. So glad that Donna's with us as well for the first time. God bless you. It's really nice to be with you. You know, Craig came with his sister last week, and she's also looking to be baptized. She's working today, so pray for her. Her name is Olga. She also, the Lord really spoke to her in a really outstanding way, and she's wanting to set her things right with the Lord as well. So it's a wonderful thing for people to be responding. We know the door's not going to close until the last of the elect comes
Amen.
In.
Amen.
And today, one more is crossed off the list by the grace of God as the Son responds to the pleas of the Father to say, Son, come home. How wonderful is our brother has responded. So let's baptize him in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. Greg, you've made a profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord. So you've accepted him in your heart for the forgiveness of your sin. And today you've come, you want to make a public profession before us to show that you want to walk with Jesus. Because of that, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you when you're not in the water because it's very cold in there. The brothers have tried to put a little bit in to make it a bit warmer, but it's wonderful. It's a type of the grave. The grave is cold. So we're going to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord bless you. If you want to go in, bro. If you want to just get in, Greg, and sit down with your legs that way. Turn around that side, and then you sit. Yes, and put your legs straight. Put your legs in front of you, yeah. And then we'll baptize you. cold. It's okay, you'll be fine. Hold your nose, Greg. Because of your profession of Christ as Jesus' Lord, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You can stand, Greg. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray for our brother. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the soul of our brother that has responded to you. Father, I just ask of thee, in accordance with the sure promise of your word, Father, may you fill him with your glory, fill him with your spirit. Father, let, Lord, the heavenly dove that came down on the Jordan that day come and take its abode in the soul of my brother. Lord, I pray that you may lead him and guide him to become the fullness of what you've called him to be. Thank you, Father, for my brother's sincerity. Thank you that he's setting his life in order. Thank you for all the things that he's put right, all the things he's put under the blood. Now, Father, I proclaim your blessing upon him in Jesus' name. Your blessing upon his family. Your blessing, I pray, for his sister even upon this day, even her situation, Lord. You lead her and guide her, and you help her, Father. And every other decision my brother needs to make, and Lord, the days that lay before, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'll guide him and lead him, Father. Lord, that you'll just be his future because you hold his future. Bless my brother with your richest blessings, I pray. I thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. You can go and get changed, baby. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence. Living in
me, and
I'm desperate for you, and I'm lost without you, Jesus. And I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, Lord.
And I'm lost without you.
Oh,
this is our day.
This is my daily bread.
This is my daily bread.
Whoa,
your spoken word revealed
to me, and
I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, my Lord.
And I'm lost without you.
I'm lost without you, my Lord.
And I'm desperate for you.
I'm desperate for you, Jesus.
And without you.
Oh, I'm lost without you, my Lord. This is my
desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you.
Oh, I worship you, Lord.
Oh, I have within,
all I have within me,
I give you praise. All that I adore
is in you, is in you, my Lord. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Moment I
Jesus, draw me closer. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Fade so far away from me, Lord. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, closer, Lord, to you. For my eyes are to worship and obey. He knows my name, hallelujah. He knows my name. He knows my name. He sees it tears that falls and hears me when I go. Oh, I have a Father, I have a Maker. Before my eyes, before even time began, my life was in His hand. For He knows, He knows my name. He knows my name. He thought, He sees, He sees. And hears me when I go. Oh, I have a Father, I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where. Oh, I'm glad He knows.
You couldn't finish a baptism service without singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Just want to greet our good sister's dad. God bless Sister Rachel's dad. Wonderful to have you with us. And may the Lord be with us as we depart from this place. Let's keep praying. We are witnesses to a baptism. Let's keep putting our brother before the throne, that the Lord's will may be done inside of his life. And Brother Vadim, it's so nice to see Brother Vadim pushing on again. God bless you, Brother Vadim. May the Lord be with you as well.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Whoa,
no turning back.
Whoa,
no turning back. The cross before
me. The cross before me.
The world behind.
The world behind me.
The cross before
me.
The world behind.
The world behind me.
The cross before me. The world behind,
behind me, behind me.
No turning back.
Oh,
no turning back.
Oh,
if no one joins me, still I will follow.
I will follow.
If no one joins me, still I will follow.
I will follow Jesus.
If no one hears me, still I will follow.
I will follow.
No turning back, no turning back.
Oh,
though no one joins me, still I will
follow. I will follow,
though no one joins me, still I will follow.
I will follow,
though no one joins me, still I will follow.
I will follow,
no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I will follow.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow.
No turning back. No turning back.
Let's finish with one of them. One of them. My brother can now say, I'm one of them. The world will say, you're one of them. But we say, I'm one of them. That's the way that it is.
One of
them. One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
There are people,
there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I should let today.
One of them,
hallelujah,
one of them.
Whoa,
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not love it, be no boast of what they say. They have all received their Pentecost
in Jesus' name,
and are turning now both far and wide.
Power is yet the same.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad
one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost
and power service came.
Now what He did for them that day He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad
one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will send your heart from sin. That will stop the joy bells ringing and
will keep that soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad today I'm one of them.
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm so glad that Brother Greg can say I'm one of them.